The message you're about to hear is part of the ministry of Great Falls Christian Center in Great Falls, Montana. Sit back, relax, and we pray that you hear from God.
In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. The Lord said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. And I will make your name great, and I will make you a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you I will curse. And all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. So Abram left as the Lord had told him. He said, come, go with me, and I'm going to make you a blessing. In fact, everybody on earth is going to be blessed through Abram. And if you know the story, that actually happened. Hebrews 11, verse 8. Actually, I want to turn there. I want to read this, Lee. I'm actually going to, it's a different message today. I'm going to talk about the building campaign. We're going to introduce it today. But I want to approach it from this direction of the call of God on our lives. If you're visiting, I was thinking about this. Somebody said, well, I know a lot of people are going to visit today, and we're going to be talking about a building campaign. Well, let me tell you this. If you're visiting, we're building for you. The title or the kind of the theme, and I have this whole team of people that come up with titles and themes and stuff because mine are boring. And so they help me with it. And it's going to be making room for more. And that's really what we're doing. We're making room. So if you're visiting, we're going to give and serve and build so that we can make more room and better room for you. So we're glad you're with us today. All right. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 and verse 8. By faith, Abraham, now the same man, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he's going. Isn't that something? God says, Abraham, I'm calling you. Everybody say called. I'm calling you to come and go with me, but I'm not going to tell you everything about it. That's actually what happens to us today. God calls us, and he doesn't tell us everything. How many figured out God didn't tell you everything is going to be on the road for you? But he says, come, you don't know where you're going, but I want you to come with me. Verse 13, talking about Abraham. Let's read verse 11. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful, God faithful, who had made the promise. And so from one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They didn't get everything that God showed them. It's still in the future, he said. But they saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens, or one translation says nomads or transients, and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they'd been thinking of the country they left, they would have had an opportunity to return. Instead, they're longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city or a dwelling place for them. Let's stand. We're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about a lot of things today, but we're going to talk about this idea that we're called. We don't know exactly where we're going, but our life then becomes wrapped up with the purpose of God and not our own. Abraham was actually 75 years old when God called him. So it can be for any age. God says, you're mine now. Do you want to come? And Abraham went. Didn't know where he's going. He chose to go with him. And he lived his life in a sense of being a stranger, a transient on this earth, knowing that his destiny, his purpose, and his life was wrapped up in something far beyond just the things that's around him. Can you say amen to that? Now let's pray. We're going to pray that God will speak to us. We put our hand on our heart, pray that our heart will be open. Put our hand on our mind, pray that our mind will be open. And let's really ask God to give us revelation today. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, this morning, I ask that my heart and my mind would be open to you. I pray that you would speak to me. I pray that you would teach me. And I pray that you would reveal yourself to me. Help me to understand and receive and walk in all you have for me today. Thank you, Jesus. Fathers, we have prayed for open hearts and open minds. Lord, I pray now that you would give me grace and anointing, Lord, to speak what you want spoken. And God, that this would be more than just a campaign, but it would be a walk with you, Lord, a journey with you to fulfill your purposes. God, I pray that you would speak to every heart here, God, what the things you want them to hear and the things that are going to make a difference in their life. So God, give me grace, anointing, and your ability, Lord, to speak all that you want. And I pray, you, God, you'd go beyond even my words and you speak by your Spirit to every heart. We ask this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Go ahead and be seated. In 1 Peter, go ahead and put that scripture up. And on your notes, it doesn't have the full scripture. But I wanted to read because it's a similar theme. It says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. God's saying that about you and I. Isn't that something? How many knew that you were a chosen people, a royal priesthood? One of the messages I'm going to do in this series, I'm going to talk about that each of you is called to carry a burden. And if you were doing our Bible, remember when the priests, each of them, part of the priesthood, each of the Levites had a section of the tabernacle that they were supposed to carry. How many read that just recently? We went through that. And so as a royal priesthood, we have a burden to carry for the Lord. Just a thought for you there. We're God's special possession that you may declare the praise of him who, what? Called you. Everybody say called you. Now say, called me. Called me out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. I'm going to begin a series. I was actually going to do something a little bit different. We're begin talking this week about our building campaign, what we're going to do to build and expand on this facility. I'm going to get into that in detail in a few minutes. And then after this message, I was going to do Easter, and then we were going to do a series on money, which I think is really helpful. How many could use help with your money? And really, you guys are doing pretty well then, all right? That's good. But I really think that we're going to do that maybe in the fall sometime. We're going to talk about money. I felt like God began to speak to me about this idea of being a people that are called. Here's Abraham. He's living as a pagan. It really doesn't say, but the land he was in was probably filled with idolatry. Doesn't appear to have any God background, just maybe whatever. And for some reason, God singles him out and calls him and says, you're going to be mine. I want you to come and walk with me. And he agrees, which is really astounding. It doesn't say anybody preaches. God just spoke to him, and he agreed to it. And I believe, I was thinking of the scripture that many are called, few are chosen. And I think God calls all of us, but when we agree to the call, then we become chosen. How many are glad you're chosen? All right? So God says to Abraham, you are called of me. He agrees to it, and he becomes his chosen one, and he's actually called his generation after him. He's called the chosen people now because he responded to the call. And he begins a new life where his life belongs to God, and he lives it for God, and he does the things God wants, and he represents God on the earth. In fact, the word church means the called out ones, ecclesia. And the church represents God on the earth. The children of Israel, the chosen ones, they were represented God on the earth. They were God's people. And so you have a whole different dynamic of life than you had before. When in American Christianity, it tends to be very much focused on the individual. I've been talking to the interns about this. It's anthropocentric. It's man-centered. And we're to be theocentric. Some of you guys have been through school with us. You know what I'm talking about. And so we think, well, you get saved so your life will be better. And by the way, your life does change dramatically when you get saved. But what really happens is you leave a life that's focused on you and the things of this life, and your life then becomes centered on God, and you're now part of the called ones that fulfill His purposes on the earth. Can you say amen to that? And so we're going to begin talking about that in a lot of different aspects. We're going to be talking about being called to the church and called to unity and called to give, and how that affects our life, that we are a called person. We have a call on our life. When I was young, just pastors were called. Everybody else was called the laity or something like that. But I don't believe that's the way the Bible reads. We are all called of God. And when we respond to that call, then we're His chosen ones. We're called then to do His will on the earth. So your whole life, not just your Christian life or your church life, but your whole life represents the Lord. Can you say amen to that? Okay. All right. So in that context, I want to talk today about that we're called to build. This is not just a matter of, well, we're having church and it's getting a little crowded. Boy, we better add to the building. I don't think we can do this unless we see it as a calling from God. Calling has to do with obedience, right? In fact, that's really what Abraham does, is he just constantly obeys. And in the next chapter, there's this great story of Abraham and Lot. Lot goes with him. Lot's his nephew. And they are so prospered by the Lord because they respond to the call that they get too big and they have to separate because they can't. There's not enough room for all their animals and critters and people and stuff. And so so Lot chooses what looks like where he came from. But Abraham, he really had this call. He chooses, the Bible says, what God shows him. He says, "This you can have. This is what I want to give you." And even though what Lot chose looked better, Lot's heritage doesn't turn out very well. Abraham's turns out wonderful because he chooses what God has for him. As the people of God, you are chosen of God, and now you're called to walk with Him and to fulfill your destiny in Him. And so as a church, as a people here, we're called to build. I believe it's more than just, it's a good idea. In fact, we, the pastors and elders, we've been fasting and praying and had a retreat a while back, and actually took a number of months really wrestling with what should we do? God, what do you want us to do? We really felt that God wanted us to expand this facility, but that we need to see it as not just a wise decision, but as a call on us as the people. Now, one of the things that really encouraged me is I've had so many people tell me how excited they are about it already. Amen? And so, come on, give me a bit heartier amen than that. All right, that's good. All right, so I want to get into all this, so I'm going to move on. In the Bible, there are about four major building campaigns in the Bible. The tabernacle in the wilderness, when they built the big tent in the wilderness. And it's really cool because it says that they gave so much that they had to tell people, stop giving. And they built this really ornate, amazing place, was the dwelling place of God. There are two temples where they built two temples. They built one, it's destroyed. They build another one in the book of Nehemiah. They build a second one. Two building campaigns of building a temple. And then that's in Ezra. In Nehemiah, then they rebuild the wall. So there's four campaigns that you can find in the Bible. Here's what's really cool. Every one of them was marked by abundance, sacrifices, and glory of the Lord, glory of God. One place, when they dedicate the temple, it says everybody fell down. They couldn't even stand up. There was such a presence of God filling the temple. Rejoicing, feasting. How many like feasting? Some of you that are going to go get the donuts. Now, don't go unless you're going to work or want to know about it. You know, just stop by and get a donut. But feasting, worship, rejoice. Just it's a time of real celebration. I know in our church, we've done like probably about 4 building campaigns to expand and adjust a little bit. This, we've never done one quite this big before. But every time, it kind of stirred the church. Got people excited, engaged people. So think about this as a call from God and a time of celebration. Nehemiah 12, verse 43 says, on that day, they offered great sacrifices, rejoiced because God had given them great joy. The women and children also rejoiced. The sound of rejoicing in Jerusalem could be heard far away. Far away. When God's people respond to in obedience to His call, to what He calls us to do, it affects people all around us. They hear about it. And I believe as we build and respond to the call of God, we're going to impact our community. I think it will be spoken of in Great Falls. Can you say amen to that? So I'm excited for this. Let me give you a scripture. God put this on my heart, and I thought, I think that's in the Bible somewhere. In the middle of the night, this thought, arise and build. I mean, that's a good idea, arise and build. And I had this sense that this is really more than just a good idea. This is something God's calling us to, and He's going to make it happen. And I'm glad, because I haven't got a clue what to do. I think He's going to make it happen. Listen to this. In Nehemiah, there's Sanballat and Tobiah, a couple of the guys in the area, and they go back to rebuild the wall. And some of the local rulers don't like that. And so they mock them, and they ridicule them. They say, this little band of people is going to rebuild this big wall. Actually, it's almost humorous. Tobias is kind of like a yeah guy. He goes, yeah, even if a fox walked on it, it'd fall over. What? And so anyway, but Nehemiah says, he answered him, he said, the God of heaven Himself will prosper us. Therefore, we His servants will arise and build. It was in the Bible. And you have, but you, Tobias and Sanballat, the local guys, you have no heritage, right, or memorial in Jerusalem. You don't get a part in this at all. And the whole time they're building, they're fighting them, but God keeps preserving it. So there's this sense of what God is going to join us as we respond to the call of God. Now, I'm going to talk in the next couple months, we're going to talk about the call in a lot of different ways. But today, I want to talk about the call to build as the people of God obey Him in the call to build, then God is going to prosper us and bless us. How many end up being blessed by God and prosper? That doesn't mean you're going to have extra money, although that may be the case. I believe God may prosper you financially to help with that. But I believe your life prospers. Every time you join in the purpose of God, you begin to get blessed in your life. Your life becomes fuller. Can you say amen to that? Okay, so now let's get into the specifics, and then I'm going to tell you exactly what you can do. I'm going to tell you what we're going to do, and then I'm going to tell you what you can do. So go ahead and put the video up here. I even have a laser thing here. This is really cool. Okay. You guys tracking on the other? I mean, I don't do this very often, so I'm going to have fun with this. All right, this is what we have right now. Okay, and hopefully I can explain this well. This is what we have. Look at that. Can you all see the laser thing? Okay, that's where the kids' ministry is. That's our foyer. That's our entry right there. These are the classrooms, and this is our sanctuary, our stage right there. So that's what we have. And then we also have, it's about 14,400 square feet, and we have about 8,000 over at the Gen Center across the parking lot. The problem is, it's across the parking lot. It's part of the problem. But that right there is really small for the size of our congregation. We have probably our average attendance is right around 600 on a weekend. We probably have maybe 900 people that go to church here, and we should have probably two or three times that. But we've made it do. We've made it work. If you go up in the office area, you got people stacked around everywhere. That was just a storage area, and we've got people in some office. One office has three people in it. One has two in it. And nobody's coming in mind, though, but that's the way that is. So, anyway. Actually, you know what? That's not even true. Sometimes I'll go up and they're having meetings in my office. I say, can I just get in there and get my, I just got to get my notes or something, you know. So every, once a month, my wife has a women's meeting in there during the 9 o'clock service. All right, so that's what we have. This is what we're going to build. Go ahead and put that next slide up. There you go. All right. The orange is going to go, you know, right over there. It's 3,500 square feet, and it will be three stories. The bottom two stories will be children's ministry, and included the blue, which is what we have already. Now, Nate did this, so there's a check in there. And, you know, we actually have an architect coming out next month that's going to show us the right way to draw this. But this is kind of a combination of Jackson and Nate and myself putting this thing together and some of the ideas. But we're going to we'll build an addition there. Then this will be a foyer area. This is all new. And this will be a coffee shop over here. How many think it would be nice to be able to, after church, to go fellowship and have a cup of coffee and not have to walk across the parking lot? Amen. So that's in the plan. There's our existing bathrooms. These are all our classrooms here. All those classrooms will be removed. This will all be foyer, and this will all be foyer. So you have space for people to mingle outside of the sanctuary. Over here, we'll have more bathrooms. I'm not sure how we're going to do it. We'll take what's here right now, and we're going to move it on the end of the building over here from the pink line right here. Am I doing this okay? You guys, okay, all right. From the pink line here, this is all new, all right? And that'll be extra sanctuary, and then the classrooms back there that we have here so we can have adult classes and meetings and for people to get saved and training for different things that we use it now. We'll have that available with maybe a little kitchen here so that we can have, we'll take our dividers so we can have a small get-togethers and things like that there. And then we're going to take on that wall right there, this is this part right here, we're going to take this stage, we're going to go out 20 feet if we get permission. We can go 10 without permission. We have to have permission. We got Montana Power already gave us permission. Bob Gadais is working on the rest of it there. We're going to go out 20 feet that way and recess the stage in there. So when you sit in church, you'll sit here, and this right here will be the center of the sanctuary. Right where I am. This would be, see that? So it'll double the sanctuary. And nice, huh? All this will be gone. All these, we're going to have to tear all this out. By the way, can everybody say, I'm going to be patient? Because we're going to be under construction. And so it's going to be a mess around here while we're doing all this stuff. But you guys are wonderful, gracious people. And you're going to be nice. And we'll talk about that a little bit later in the message. All right, so this is what we're going to do. This is what we're at. This will become, we'll open this up and change this so this is all children's ministry. And then this is three levels. So the upper level will be more office space. The bottom level will be a bigger meeting area and some more classrooms for kids. So we can have all the children's ministry, all the kids' ministry over in this facility. Amen. How many think that's a good idea? Yeah. All right, so let's go on to the next one, all right? This is what it costs, all right? This part, actually it's this part right here, is going to cost about $500,000. By the way, these are my estimates, and I could be so wrong. But, I mean, I did some checking. Jim Day and I talked about some numbers and went through some construction stuff, and we think we can do it for about $50 a square foot there. This is going to be about $150,000. This will be 165, and this will be 235. We also need to recover our parking lot. How many have noticed that? It needs some work there. So we just got a bid on that. It's around 100,000. We need to redo our roof. We've been leaking for years, all right? And what we're going to do, we just had a meeting. We're going to take the units off the roof. They'll go in the back, and the new units will put, they'll all be on the ground level. It'll give us better airflow. We're going to put a covering on the roof. It's a rubber membrane they put on, and it puts insulation, so it'll save us long-term in the expenses, heating expenses for the building. But it'll also stop all the leaks, which would be really, really nice to do. All right. This was a shop. Some of you don't know that. This was a shop. There was a garage door right here, and there was a garage door right there when we moved in. And we've been in the process of making it a church, making it a little bit nicer. Now we're going to do a little bit more, or a lot more, actually. This is the final big push of what we're going to do in this facility. This part is $165,000. This right here, the signage, we figure maybe $25,000. New roof, $100,000. So we're estimating that our costs are going to be approximately $1.3 million. Okay? Go to the next page. Next whatever. There's the upstairs, the office level. See, we'll open this up. This is Lee's office right here. That's my office. This is Lee's. Little steps going up in there. One, two, three. Going up a little higher there. And then these will be new offices over here. Probably put our school, the forge will be upstairs. Go ahead, next, whatever's next, go ahead, put that up. Okay, the basement, that's what we'll do. We're going to have an elevator. That'd be nice. Because we've got three floors, and we actually, by code, we're supposed to have one anyway. And now we will. We'll put an elevator in and have stairs, but the entryway will be from here. It'll give us better access, better flow of traffic, all kinds of things. All right, next. There's the cost of what we're doing, approximately 10,000 square feet, 525. Anyway, there's the figures. We're gonna put this in a brochure and give it to you. I just want to introduce you to it today. So this is what we're going to do. All right, next, please. All right. Now, how did I do in that presentation? Thank you. I'm not very skilled with a pointer, but we just wanted to introduce this and give you an idea. We'll send everybody in the church. We'll send you plans, and the plans may change quite a bit when we talk to the architect. These guys are specialists in churches, and they can give us better flow ideas and better classroom ideas. But I really appreciate Jack Sand. It worked with me for probably a couple of months. He said, I just like to draw some stuff up. So he'd draw them up, and I'd make all kinds of changes. He'd redraw it, and then I'd make more changes. He'd redraw it, and then Nate got it and messed it all up and made it in color. Now Nate added some to it. But this is all preliminary. But it's going to be sufficient to do what we do, but double our space, double our seating, double our kids' ministry. One of the things, statistics that church growth people will tell you, is that people are, now you're not, if we pack this room out, every chair is filled, most of you would say, yeah, isn't this cool? But most people that visit feel uncomfortable when it's that full. In fact, and statistically what they say, when people come, and that's who we want to reach. We want to reach people that this is a new experience to come to church. We're building for others, not just for ourselves. We're building for others. We've got enough room for us, right? So really, we're called now to build more room for others. So we want room to grow for people that God wants to bring in so they feel comfortable. They say at about 70%, the room feels full to them. And you think about it, you've got six people in your family, and even this is a smaller service. The other service is quite a bit fuller than this one. But when you come in, you've got six people in your family, and it's hard. Now, there's like two there, and if you had six people, it'd be really hard to find a place with six seats. Isn't that right? And so they said, well, move on over. How many like to inconvenience people? Particularly when you're the new person. And so we want to be aware of that, and so we're building for that reason. Also, our kids' ministries, people come in, they got their two beautiful daughters in these little frilly dresses, and they walk in and they go, we're actually going to show you some pictures sometime of how crowded they can get in our kids' ministry. And they go, I'm not putting them in there. So we want to make it room. There's statistics on how much room it takes for some number of kids or whatever. So that's why we're building. We're building to produce room for more room for people to grow, so we can grow and people can come in and feel really welcome and invited. Can you say amen to that? Okay. So what I want to talk about now is, and I want to finish up with this, is what can we do? Because we're called of God, and what's our portion in this? How do we participate? And I'm going to give you five things that I want you to pray about and be involved in doing. In Exodus 36, verse 6 and 7, it says, and this is one of those building campaigns, and they were raising stuff to build the tabernacle in the desert. And it says they gathered so much stuff there because there was this willing heart in people. And you see that phrase a lot in the Bible, a willing heart. God moved on their heart, a willing heart. It says the people were ordered to stop bringing offerings. Isn't that something? Whoa, don't bring any more, don't bring any more. He says there was plenty of materials for all the week you've done. Enough and more than enough. That's really what my prayer is, God, that He would bring in enough and more than enough. I am very possibly the world's worst fundraiser. I can preach tithing. I'm so convinced about tithing, but I've not, over the years of this church, not done a great job of raising money. I like to give. I like to see people give, but the promotion of it and all that, you know, is not my forte. I don't know if I'm the world's worst. There's a guy in North Dakota, I think, is worse than me. But you understand, it's not something that I would not go out and look for a job as doing financial campaigns. We actually talked years ago about bringing. There are teams that can come into a church and help you to raise the funds. But I just didn't feel that fit the culture of our church. And so I'm trusting God to take somebody who's not very good at it, and we're going to do a great job. And I, for some reason, I just have a sense that God's going to enable us in this, all right? And so I want to give you five things that you need to do, each of you, because you're the called of God, all right? Now, if you're visiting, we're doing this for you. And after you're around for a while, you'll say, you know what, I want to be a part of the called and part of this, and you'll join in if you want. But if you're not, just say, well, that was an interesting service, and it's a handsome pastor anyway. So don't laugh out loud. Just anyway, all right. So it's pretty simple what you do, but I believe it takes all of us. It takes all of us to be engaged in this. And you need to engage, let God engage your heart. And so the first thing you need to do is pray, right? You just need to pray. And I think many of you have already been praying for a long time and praying about this. In Chronicles, I just love this story. It's Jehoshaphat's the king, and Israel has dwindled somewhat in power and size. And this massive army comes against them. And they've dwindled because they've had ungodly kings and suffered the results of that. But now Jehoshaphat's a godly king. And this massive army comes against, actually three armies come against them. And he calls them together. He calls a fast. And they seek the Lord. And this is what he says. He says, Lord, we don't know what to do. How many think that's a good place to start? He says, we have no power to face this vast army that's attacking us. We don't know what to do, but, everybody say but. But our eyes are on you. Let me give you another scripture, and it relates to it in Psalm. Unless the Lord builds a house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. So unless God does this, it's not going to happen, right? This better be a God project. I mean, you know, I was thinking, you know, I'm getting old. I don't want to do this kind of stuff. Buildings are, you know, it takes a lot of attention and time and energy, and we're also doing some major things around the state. But I believe God's in this. I really, and I've had so many people talk to me. The interns were praying for me today, and one of them, I think it was Mary Bell, prayed, God, I just sense an antsiness in people, an anticipation. How many think that's cool? God's going to do something. And so if God's in it, but we need to ask Him. We need to contend for God for wisdom, for finances, for ability to how to figure this out and what to do, and that we make good decisions for good deals. We think that's a good idea. God, give us a good deal. That rubber membrane we're going to put on the roof, man, help Him to get it for us really cheap. A good one. Cheap, not just cheap one, good, but all right. do you understand that? So pray, and listen. All of your prayers are important. We're going to do one of the messages I'm going to do is we're going to talk about, we're called to unity, And I really, we need to be in this together. Now, this is our house, if you will. It's our place of gathering and serving. And so it takes everybody, but everybody praying. And pray faithfully, pray regularly for this, that God will lead. And I believe God's going to do a miraculous thing. But we're going to pray. Can you say amen to that? All right, number one, you pray. Number two, we're going to commit. Now, we've never actually done this before. We've never one time we did a kind of an anonymous commitment. But as I've been praying over this, I felt like the Lord said, you need to have people make a real commitment. Not just, I think we'll do this, but say, this is what God has put on my heart to give over the next 3 years, and I'm going to commit to that. How many know commitments are scary? You know, it's one thing to say, I think I'll do that. Well, I'd like to be a part of that. It's another thing to say, right on paper, I, Bob Johnson, and the Johnson family are going to give this number of dollars over the next 3 years. Because once it's down there, I think, shoot, I wrote that down. I got to do that. Right? I think there's something valuable in that. Go ahead and put the scripture up. Go back. There's a scripture with that other one. Go back. Did they miss the scripture? They missed the scripture. Go to Habakkuk. If it's not on there, it is on there. Did you just not get it on the notes? All right, here's the scripture. Habakkuk 2, verse 2. It says, and the Lord answered me, and he said, Write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. So he says, write the vision. Go back. You're in the wrong place. Go to 2, back to 2. And there's no scripture there. Can we get that for the next service? Anyway, in Habakkuk. Everybody turn your Bibles to Habakkuk. I want you to see this. It may read a little bit different in your Bible, but this is a New King James Version. It says, write the vision and make it plain. So he says, write down what you're going to do so that as you get engaged, you know what you're doing. Write the plan down. Write what you want. Now, I like to hedge my bets. You understand what I'm talking about? I like some wiggle room. How many like wiggle room? And I believe God wants to take away our wiggle room. You with me on this? Where we say, I'm going to do this. Now, here's what I want you to do. We'll talk about this some more. I would like every family unit in the church. So if you're single, you're your family unit. If there's five in your family, that's a family unit. I would like you as a family unit to pray about your commitment for the next three years. Say, God, we would like to give X amount of dollars. Now, one of the reasons you need to pray together, because sometimes one member of the family is more inclined to giving than the other member. How many have ever encountered that? We've actually had instances where people had to come and ask for their checks back because they were more giving than they were wise. And maybe a wife said, honey, we don't have that money. My wife and I had some discussions about things like that too. All right. So this should be something you do as a family. I think your children should be involved in it. I think your whole family should pray over it. And don't just pray this week and write it down, but you pray for the next. The offering is actually going to be on the 19th of May. So you've got a couple of months to pray about it and maybe fast some and say, what is our portion? Here's what I really want. I want every person to obey God and give their portion. I have no idea what it is. So whatever God tells you, I actually, when I was praying about it, I felt like God put a number in my heart. And I put out a number, and then God changed it. But I need to talk to my wife. I can't just go, okay, we're going to do this. Cindy needs to agree with me. And then your family together, pray about it. And then on the 19th, I want you to bring, we'll give you some cards, pledge cards or whatever, and you'll say, this is what our family purposes to do by the grace of God. Obviously, if you lose your job or can't do it, you know, nobody's going to come and check it out at your house and say, well, you promised. This is between you and the Lord. But I believe God will help you to keep your commitment if you really listen to Him and pray. There may be some of you, God will say, speak a really big number. Some of you may be a smaller number. It doesn't matter how much. It matters how obedient you are. Amen? If everybody's obedient, we're going to have more than enough. And so you don't say, well, he's trying to get... I'm not trying to get anything from you. I'm just asking you to pray, but make a commitment. Everybody say, make a commitment.
Make a commitment.
Because we're called.
We're called.
I'm going to make a commitment. Okay, there you go. So number two is make a commitment. Number three, I want you to give then. Exodus 35:21. Everyone who was willing and whose heart moved him came and brought an offering to the Lord for the work of tent of meeting, for all of its service and for the sacred garments. Let me just go back to the commitment. One of the things that actually a number of us have been doing for years is we set this up kind of a pattern, is we said, in addition to our tithe, we'll give X percentage in addition to that of our income. And that's one way to make a commitment. Just figure out what that would be. And actually, that's where I started. I went back and found what I'd given the last 3 years. And I thought, well, I can give that much. And then the Lord said, you can give more than that. And maybe I'm the only one God will tell that to. So don't put any pressure on yourself. Let God do that. But that's a good way to do it. Say, I'm going to do it. And I've already started. Actually, I started 12 years ago. But I'm going to start now for this year and for these next 3 years. I'm going to make a commitment, and that's one way you can do it, is a part of your income. Say, whatever you prosper me in, God, I'll give this in addition. So, all right? So give. On the 19th, we're going to have an offering. That'll be our first. We'll probably do maybe three a year to just kind of keep it. Maybe we'll do another one in September and then one in January or something like that. And we'll... our first offering will be May 19th, and that'll get started. Now, you know, here's something really cool that happened. I was sharing with a group of about 60 leaders in the church. We were having a meeting, and it was a smaller than normal meeting because a lot of them didn't get notified. We messed up on our notification. And just spontaneously, on the spot, they gave $11,600. I mean, just God stirred their heart. By the way, that was very encouraging to me. It says, God's in this. It gave us seed money so we can get started and do some stuff. It's $50,000 to gravel that parking lot. It costs a lot of money to do stuff. But God will take care of that. Amen? So don't feel pressure. Just feel obedience, all right? And let God show you what you're supposed to do, all right? And if you feel yourself fussing, it's probably because you're fighting God, not me. Because I don't care what you give. I just want you to obey God. Amen? All right, here we go. All right, so give. 2 Corinthians 9:7. Each man should give what he decides in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So how should you give? You should be excited about that. I think that service on the 19th is going to be just really exciting. Because people are going to... I'm excited for it. I'm looking forward to what God can do and what we'll be able to give for that, just to get started, this our beginning money coming in and the pledges. Man, wouldn't it be great if the whole thing was pledged? We go, wow, God. Now, it's going to take all of us doing our part. I don't have to do Lottie's part. He's a multimillionaire. He must be going to give lots of money. I just need to do Bob's part and my family's part. All right. So, given the offering, May 19th. He's not a multimillionaire. He just, you know what? He's gracious like one, though. He's a very godly man. So, anyway, next, please. Number four, encourage. 1 Chronicles 29. The people rejoiced at the willingness of their leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. David the king also rejoiced greatly. Just those leaders giving and their attitude encouraged everybody. Encouraged by the way you speak. When you get involved in something like this, there's all kinds of potential to get fussed up. You know, you make a commitment and then you get tight and you say, well, that church is bleeding me dry. The church isn't bleeding you dry. You obey God. Church isn't making you do anything. But you need to encourage one another and say, you can do this. God will help you. God will show you how to do it. In Nehemiah, Nehemiah is such a great book, and we're probably going to do some preaching out of Nehemiah, but they're building the wall, and they get halfway done and they lose heart. It's a lot of work. By the way, there's more than just giving. We're going to get to that. There's work to be done. And so they just kind of lose heart, and they have to go back and encourage each other and encourage themselves in the Lord and get back to work. Because in this campaign, and it's going to, you know, the giving part is 3 years, and so there's a length of time, and that initial enthusiasm will wear thin at times, and so we need to always be encouraging each other. Can you say amen to that? All right. And then lastly, go ahead, is you need to work. Exodus 35 verse 10 says, all who are skilled among you are to come and make everything the Lord has commanded. Now, really kind of what we'll do, I think, we're still in the process of figuring this out, we'll probably contract the external building part done, because we don't have cranes and all that junk to do that stuff with. But we'll probably do a good portion of the interior stuff. And so lots of you have skills. I already had people come, man, somebody talked, Mark Cook, I think. He said, man, I've just been looking at my tools. I'm ready to go. And that's exciting. All right. And so we're gonna work. And there's other ways to work, too. Here's a thought on working, not just in the building, but if we're making room for more, and that's the theme, making room for more. You know what that means? It means we've got to do more work. More of you are going to have to step up and serve to help with the people that God brings in. Now here's the option. Let's make this church just about us and keep it comfortable the way it is and keep it small where we don't have to do so much. If I'm not called, I don't have to do that. I can live like that. But I'm called of God. And so I'm called to serve. And we need workers in our children's ministry. We need workers in our nursery. Is Eric in here? I know they have a real need because we're having more kids. It takes more people. So working is not just hammering nails or hanging sheetrock. It's working to serve the people that are coming in. And you need, some of you need to step up and take your place in new ways. There's all kinds of ways to serve. We're going to probably in the fall, we may do a Saturday night service that will be full on ministry. We'll have kids ministry. It just takes more people, more worship people, more ushers, more greeters, parking lot attendants. Sunday we're going to have parking lot attendants just because it gets really hectic. How many have noticed that? If the preacher goes long, it's a zoo out there. And so we're going to have, you notice Nick had this orange vest on. Did Kern buy that for you? Looked pretty cool. He looked. Should have worn that to the service so you could show them that. But they're going to be going. And then you got to have a good attitude when they tell you to park, and you had your eye on that spot up front. Come on, is that right?
Yeah.
See, we all got to work in this together. And so, but when we do this, then God blesses, He prospers, and people come to Jesus, and there's rewards in heaven. We've had 36 people baptized in the last month. We're 37. And in the next service, they're going to baptize a bunch more. So God's doing stuff with people. But the work increases, but not if everybody does their part. That's really kind of a principle about each part does its part. Each part gives its part. Each part serves where they're supposed to serve. And if you, your brother or sister is struggling, encourage them. So pray, commit, give, encourage, and work. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
And God will do the building. Amen?
Yeah.
Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you. God, I just personally want to thank you that you've called us. You just didn't call us to a task. You called us your children, members of your household. We're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, the people of God, people who didn't have mercy, and now we've received mercy. And so, God, as we respond to that call, God, help us to walk in it. Teach us, Lord. Even we pray for next Sunday as you bring people in, God, that they can hear the call to new life. And God, that there can be an excitement in their heart of what you can do. And God, I pray for all of us that we would rise up and take our place. to do what we're supposed to do. We thank you for this. While your heads are bowed, let me ask if there's anybody here this morning. Either you're not saved, you've never given your life to Christ. This is really about you, what these people are going to do for you. Or if you are backslidden, you're coming back to the Lord. So many people. In our culture, most people have heard the gospel. But a lot of people have rejected it or walked away from it. And God wants to bring you back. He did that with me. I'm a backslider restored. And so if you're in either of those two situations, as we close the service, I'm going to ask you to do this. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand and say, I want to get right with God today, Pastor. Just raise your hand and look at me, and I'm going to pray for you. Is there anyone like that? Just take a moment. Okay? Amen. Anyone else? Amen. All right. Let's pray together. And we're going to pray, and then I'm going to get some people to share with you too and help you. Father, thank you. Everybody say that. Thank you. Thank you that Jesus died in my place to give me life. I receive that. I believe that His sacrifice paid for my sins. I receive that. I believe that His resurrection gives me new life, eternal life. I commit my life and my heart to Him. Help me to walk with you, serve you, and obey you today and the rest of my life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
The message you just heard is part of the ministry of Great Falls Christian Center. Additional sermon resources are available by calling us at 406-727-4849 or by visiting us on the web at gfcconline.com. Thanks again for listening.